It's May 10th. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. It's Friday's headline brief, heavy on news, light on analysis, launching us into the weekend with events that, as always, are shaping America and the world. We begin with domestic news this morning, starting with politics and immigration. The White House announced yesterday that it is strongly opposed to some recent Republican pushes to change the U.S. Census. As a quick refresh on this, the U.S. Census currently counts all people living in a particular state, not all citizens. And that means that illegal aliens, they get counted too. That then adds to the tally that determines the number of seats that a state gets in the U.S. House of Representatives, plus how much power a state gets in the Electoral College. That, of course, selects the president. And that's what Republicans are trying to change. They argue that it's unfair for illegals to have a voice or a power in our electoral process. That should be limited to Americans only. And so that is why on Wednesday, the House passed a bill to change the census starting in the year 2030 to include or capture only citizens of a given state, not merely the residents. Well, as expected, all Democrats in the House voted against this measure. That's because their party would likely lose substantial numbers of House seats, probably a dozen, give or take. Plus, they would face the loss of power in choosing the president. Democrats, however, argue that really this bill is unconstitutional. It's a violation of the 14th Amendment. They also added that it's just bigoted and racist. But that aside, the bill now moves on to the Senate where, like it or not, it will likely die an immediate death. And that is because Democrats retain the control of the upper chamber, and senators are saying that they have no interest in taking up this bill. But just in case there were any doubt, the White House said yesterday that Mr. Biden would veto it if the folks in the Senate dared to pass it. By the way, the White House's justification, it matched all of the same reasons that were offered by the Democrat colleagues in the House. Plus, they said this, too. It would make the census more expensive to conduct, which means that for now, this issue is over. The GOP's law can only be reconsidered and passed if Republicans take over the Senate and the presidency next fall, which, if so, Mr. Trump has said that he will sign such a bill. So that is why I'll keep you posted, folks. I'll be watching. Let's see what happens in November. And on a related note, we continue with an update about America's illegal aliens. Illegals in the city of Denver, Colorado, sent a demand letter to Mayor Mike Johnson this week, insisting that they receive 13 forms of special or guaranteed treatment before they were to agree to be moved from their tent encampments that were under a bridge near the Denver International Airport. The city had asked these folks to move into shelters, but the illegals didn't want to. They said they wanted certain guarantees and rights first before they did. And those included, first, dedicated kitchens to prepare their own culturally appropriate food. Second, they wanted shower access upon demand. They said that they are civilians, not in the military. Third, they want medical care with specialists provided as demanded. Next, they wanted employment placement for those who qualify. Fifth, they wanted free immigration attorneys and related legal assistance. They also wanted regular meetings with the city's newcomer liaison officer, which is a real thing, by the way. His name is Mr. Andres Carrera. He serves in that capacity of a newcomer liaison officer. And he actually got into trouble last month when he told the illegals in Denver that they should actually leave for, say, Chicago or New York. But the illegals did not. Many of them remain either in shelters or those encampments like the one out by Denver International Airport. For what it's worth, it is unclear if Denver's mayor agreed to any or some of those migrant demands. I'm going to keep digging in on that. I'll keep you posted. One final thing to note here. Some of the illegals that are in Denver and beyond this morning might not get this same welcome that they did over the past number of months. And that is because the Biden White House announced yesterday to slightly tighten up the asylum process at the border. It will now apply to those illegals who are deemed to be either a criminal or a national security risk. Which, of course, begs the question, why were those illegals allowed to come into this country before now? But anyway, nevertheless, they won't be now. Maybe. That's because Reuters News Service reports that the new Biden rule is only going to apply to a few thousand people. Of course, of the 1 million or so illegals who come across the border each year. So there's that in terms of impact. As ever, I will keep you posted. Next up, we switch gears to talk about agriculture. The Washington, D.C.-based World Bank announced that the key to fighting climate change is to cut all government aid to farmers and ranchers that raise beef, pork, and sheep. Instead, the World Bank argues that the money that comes from governments should go to those folks who grow or raise things like fruits and vegetables and maybe chicken. The bank added that the goal would be to increase the price of beef and pork and lamb about 60%, all to nudge consumers to eat less of those animals and instead gnaw on some more climate-friendly options like carrots or celery. Now, so far, there has been no response to this report from the White House, as far as I can tell, but I will keep you posted because if I could pivot now to my analysis and opinion, I think that this World Bank report offers us a reminder of what the climate change activists really intend for us to do. They are going to drive, limit, or nudge you and I, consumers, to eat what they want, irrespective of what you want. And as they do that, folks, they are going to bankrupt and destroy countless farmers and ranchers and communities in the process, and they just don't care. And by the way, they're already doing it. We're seeing this happen in countries like the Netherlands and Ireland and New Zealand. Leftist governments in each of those places have promised to reduce their climate change emissions by culling the cattle herds or forcing the sale of farm ground. So that is why we are going to continue to talk about this, and we will do so actually next week. Finally, a headline for you about American culture and the politics of the culture wars. A federal judge has ruled that the U.S. government must pay $357,000 to a group of white men who sue the U.S. Commerce Department for blocking them from some minority-only programs. The Commerce Department's Minority Business Development Agency had previously limited their $100 million in annual assistance to only or mostly black, Hispanic, and female applicants. Those folks then could get some special financing or special access to government contracts. But now, because of this judge's rule, the Commerce Agency involved must now expand their assistance to all Americans, regardless of race. And that is outrageous, says the National Minority Business Council. They predict that this judge's decision will, quote, damage the whole minority business sector because there will be less services available to the various minority-owned businesses, end quote. Well, more to come on this, folks, because this decision is actually part of a growing legal war that is playing out after the Supreme Court, as you may recall, struck down affirmative action programs, at least those on university campuses, last summer. So the legal rationale in that case is now being applied to all sorts of entities and industries far beyond colleges and academia. And so far, affirmative action or diversity programs are losing. So we're going to talk about that more next week. In the meantime, shall we take our first break of the morning? Yeah, let's do it. A hearty thanks to the folks at Jace Medical and Ghost Bed for their continued support of this podcast. Couldn't do it without them. We'll be right back. The spring and summer bugs have arrived. Yeah, the sinus infections, the strep throat, and they're also miserable, aren't they? But they're 1,000 times easier to manage when you have a friend at JaceMedical.com. It's the company that delivers prescription medications of all kinds right to your front door, from antibiotics to EpiPens, from diabetes drugs to family planning. And the folks at Jace make it so easy. You go to JaceMedical.com, you fill out a simple online form, and in no time flat, you will get those medicines delivered right to your front door well before those spring or summertime bugs hit you. Again, folks, do what I did. Go to JaceMedical.com, and if you enter promo code RIGHT at checkout, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, you are going to get a great discount on your order. And do this today. Again, that is promo code RIGHT at JaceMedical.com because, folks, there is no telling what tomorrow might bring. Good morning. Rise and shine. And as you do, I hope you're pulling yourself off of a great new ghost bed that you bought recently. And if you're not, well, why not? It's the company that I think makes the finest mattresses in all of America. And y'all know that's true, because I own one. I have the Luxe model, but they've got other great models too, like the Classic, the Massage Bed, and a great new price drop on the Hybrid model. But no matter the mattress that you choose from, you gotta get one. These mattresses are built with high-quality materials and fine craftsmanship, and you will feel both when it is delivered right to your doorstep. As always, they have a 101-day trial period with free returns if you ever think you might not like it, which is not going to happen, but it's great to have it anyway. So folks, get yourself a Ghost Bed and get 50% off when you do. Go to ghostbed.com/right, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, and get that 50% off. Again, that's ghostbed.com/right, and get ready, because once that bed arrives, you will be off to a great night's sleep. I guarantee it. Welcome back to The Right Report. Let's continue with our headline brief this morning with a pivot towards international news. And we begin with updates out of the Middle East. U.S. military has completed that $320 million pier off the coast of Gaza. It was constructed over the past 2 months or so. It was then moved into place after a few days of delay due to weather. With its completion this morning, humanitarian aid to Gaza is now on its way. It'll begin its journey in the country of Cyprus, not too far away from Israel and Gaza. Once it gets to the pier, it will be unloaded. From there, some new boats will take it further towards a dock that is on Gaza's beaches, and Israeli forces will re-inspect it a second time. The question, of course, is how that aid will then get into the Gaza Strip. So far, not exactly sure. Israeli forces are responsible for it, but some concern that Hamas may attack them as they do. I'll keep you posted on that. And speaking of Israeli forces, they are going to have less weaponry to work with. As I intimated yesterday, the Biden White House has confirmed that they are holding back military aid to Israel's forces. Initial reports were that Mr. Biden would hold back just some of the weaponry, specifically some 155 artillery shells. But now we know that Mr. Biden is going to withhold a bunch more weaponry, a wide range of things. The White House is saying that they're doing this because they are trying to prevent Israel from conducting operations in the city of Rafah. As folks know, that is the last stronghold of the terror group Hamas. Mr. Biden and his team say that, Hamas aside, operations in Gaza, specifically in Rafah, would kill far too many Palestinian civilians. As I shared earlier this week, Israel's war cabinet was shocked by this decision, certainly to withhold all these weapons, because in part, the weapons were congressionally authorized to be given. But now Israel's war cabinet, not just shocked, they're angry, and they are resolved this morning to continue the fight. Said Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday, quote, "If Israel needs to stand alone, it will stand alone. And if we need to, we will fight with our fingernails," end quote. And to that, Hamas officials issued a warning. They said that if Israel keeps up its aggression in Gaza, as they called it, there is no chance for a ceasefire or any swapping of hostages for Palestinian prisoners. Mr. Osama Hamdan said yesterday that the ball is now in Netanyahu's court and that Hamas very much wants a ceasefire. I should note that this same fellow, Mr. Hamdan, said over the weekend that Hamas will eventually wipe Israel out of existence and kill all remaining Jews. He again emphasized that that is the terror group's founding principle. Well, as you would imagine, that is why most Israelis and Jewish people condemn Hamas, and they're condemning Joe Biden, too. In fact, even some of Mr. Biden's fellow Democrats are condemning him as well this morning. Representative Richie Torres, who is a Democrat from New York, said that Mr. Biden's withholding of the weapons from Israel was not really about trying to prevent bloodshed of innocent Palestinian civilians. Rather, quote, "It's pandering to the far left of the Democrat Party. It looks like election year politics was driving Biden's decision. That is my impression," end quote. That sentiment, by the way, was shared with a number of other Democrats, including the Democrat senator from Pennsylvania, Mr. John Fetterman. He said, yep, it was about politics. Joining them as a critic of Mr. Biden, as you would probably guess, was a fellow named Donald Trump. He weighed in yesterday on this controversy of Mr. Biden withholding the weapons, saying that he was wrong and insisting that, quote, "The Israelis have to get the job done. Look, they were viciously attacked on October 7th, but they have to get the job done fast," end quote. Well, folks, no analysis or opinion for you on this morning. Instead, what I would propose is a thought experiment. Think about this over the weekend. If you were Israel, putting aside your own religion or personal politics, if you were Israel, what would you do in this case? Because we know that Hamas and most of the Palestinian people want you and your nation dead, at least based on current and historical polling, plus what we know about Hamas's foundational documents and their continued fervent commitment to their cause. So knowing that is your enemy, as it were, because they have declared war on you, what would you do in response? Because I think that's the heart of the matter. And that's worth wrestling with, I think, this morning and certainly over the weekend. And if you'd like, shoot me your thoughts on Substack. Looking forward to it. Next up, from the war in the Middle East, we go to the war in Europe for two updates out of Ukraine and Russia. That's because both countries are struggling with manpower issues this morning. We begin in Kyiv, where Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and his parliament are set to recruit people from prison to serve on the front lines. The new law applies to those convicts who have less than 3 years left on their sentences. They will be granted immediate parole in exchange for joining the armed forces. Defenders of this program and the law say that Ukraine desperately needs the bodies. Plus, certain convicts, they say, will not be allowed, including rapists or those found guilty of serious corruption, so they're more or less good people. That said, murderers, they will be allowed to fight, with one caveat. If you have killed just one person, then you are good to fight. But if you have killed two or more, you are not eligible to serve. So there you go. All in all, Ukraine believes that based on these rules, they will probably get around 26,000 convicts who will step up if they would like to escape prison lawfully. Although I should say service is not mandatory for now. I note that this new policy comes 2 years after Mr. Zelensky, European powers, and the U.S. government blasted Russia for doing exactly the same thing. As you may recall, the then Wagner Group recruited Russian prisoners to fight in eastern Ukraine in exchange for their freedom. At the time, the U.S. government's Voice of America called it the tactic of a tyrant like Joseph Stalin. NBC News said that it was a sign of desperation. And British intelligence said that, quote, they're obviously struggling, end quote. Well, we can logically assume that the same is true for Ukraine this morning as well. Meanwhile, Russia, they are facing their own squeeze of manpower this morning. We got word that Moscow's oil and gas industry is short about 40,000 workers, largely due to this next fact. A young Russian man can earn about $10,000 in a sign-up bonus if they agree to fight for the Russian military. But that is about the same as a one-year salary in the Russian oil and gas industry, at least based on reporting from Bloomberg News. And that's why the folks in the Russian oil and gas industry are finding it a little bit tough to compete for those young men. And that, of course, is bad news for Russian President Vladimir Putin and his regime, which, of course, needs to sell that oil and gas to fund the war effort. Now, that said, Russian oil companies have clearly managed to do pretty well so far with their smaller workforce, no crisis at hand. Still, it's definitely worth keeping our eyes on for the medium to long term, as clearly this war shows no signs of relenting. More to come. Next, we continue our headline brief off in Asia this morning with an update out of that contested South China Sea. The U.S. and Philippine governments wrapped up a military exercise this week with a bombing of a fishing boat, one that looked exactly like a Chinese fishing boat. And that, of course, was the point. It was a signal to Beijing. As a quick refresh of our memories, China has flooded the South China Sea with a fleet of fishing boats to lay claim to the area's fishing rights, some deep sea oil, and island territories, some shoals. But that's also a problem for the countries like Vietnam and the Philippines because they claim the same thing. They say that those fishing rights and deep sea oil areas and island territories are theirs. So that is why these various countries like Vietnam and the Philippines are pulling closer to the United States this morning, hoping that our military capabilities might ultimately deter China and help them to their claims. And that refresh takes us back to the Chinese fishing boat. The U.S. and Philippine militaries did, in fact, wrap up their joint exercise this week with this fun deal. An AC-130 gunship took after that poor little fishing boat. There was not much left of it after the plane did its work. The pictures and videos of the before and after were broadcast for all to see, especially in Beijing. For what it's worth, U.S. and Philippine officials say that no countries in particular were being sort of needled with this exercise and the bombing of the vessel. Rather, the fishing vessel was just what they were able to find. Okay. Well, more to come on this, folks, as the South China Sea remains a very spicy environment, with considerable trade, of course, between the U.S. and Asia that traverse these very important but troubled waters. And so that is why we should continue to keep a very close watch, all because eventually, if things go south in the South China Sea, there will be some profound impacts on you and your pocketbook. More to come. Next, a quick stop in Vietnam this morning, a country that is actually one of our most important trade partners in that region. We import about $130 billion worth of goods and services and export about $15 billion back to Hanoi. And that is where we are going this morning, to the capital city, to discuss some growing trouble as the corruption and fraud cases in that capital city are rattling the Communist Party that runs that nation. The most scandalous was a real estate tycoon who recently got the death penalty for a fraud case. She bribed some communist and banking officials to get a $12.5 billion payout. Whew. That is roughly 3% of Vietnam's entire economy. Her case is part of a 7-year effort by communist leaders in Hanoi to crack down on rampant corruption. Their fear is that if this is left unchecked or unattended, it could undermine their communist rule. To that point, the fascinating bit about all of this is that so many of these anti-corruption efforts or trials are being conducted in public for everybody to see. And that's very unusual. Normally, these things are handled quietly, behind closed doors, as often happens in places like communist China. Regardless, let's put Vietnam on our radars because of certainly how it might affect our trade and ultimately the stability of Vietnam. And with that, folks, we take our final break of the morning. We are going to be right back with some great news about medicine. A special thanks to Policy Genius this morning for their support of this next portion of today's podcast. I'm very grateful for them. We'll be right back. Folks, if you were in the market for insurance policies, from life insurance to home, auto, disability, I want to tell you about a company and a website that I have discovered. It is called PolicyGenius.com. They will help you find the most affordable insurance that is out there with partners like Nationwide, Prudential, and Travelers Insurance. I recently used Policy Genius to look at life insurance policies because, hey, you never know. And with Policy Genius, you can do that and find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. And some insurance options offer you same-day approval, and they avoid unnecessary medical exams, which is great. But even better news is that Policy Genius is just a time saver. Their website makes it easy to compare different insurance policies of all kinds, including life insurance, with just a few clicks of your mouse. So here's my bottom line. Our loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and we can give them that with things like life insurance from PolicyGenius.com. So head to PolicyGenius.com and get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save today. That's PolicyGenius.com. Welcome back to The Right Report with a headline update about medical news. We begin with news out of Europe. European health officials are warning that an outbreak of whooping cough is sweeping the continent. In the first 3 months of this year, Europe has had the same number of cases of whooping cough as they normally get in a full year. The rise is being blamed on a dip in vaccination rates plus a dip in natural immunity. The European Center for Disease Prevention and Control explained that when people were locked down during the COVID pandemic, their bodies weren't exposed to the normal viruses and bacteria that they normally were. That made them more susceptible to all sorts of bugs. Officials are encouraging the elderly and the little ones in Europe, especially, to get vaccinated, because while it is true that this is a bacterial infection, whooping cough, and it can certainly be treated, it's rather dangerous for those who are older or under the age of one. So, folks, do keep that in mind if you are traveling to Europe anytime soon. Next, warnings for us this morning about marijuana use for those folks under the age of 25 and women who are likely to get pregnant or already have a baby. To the first part, researchers in the UK found that there are elevated health risks for those under the age of 25 who use any form of cannabis, no matter the frequency or the strength of the product. Doctors believe that the reason for this elevated risk for the younger folks has to do with the brain. For people under the age of 25, their brains are still developing and have higher neuroplasticity, which means that they are more susceptible to the effects of any psychoactive substances that are found in marijuana. Meanwhile, researchers at Washington State University found that new mothers who are breastfeeding their babies are passing along potentially dangerous amounts of THC if they are using marijuana. More research is now underway to help give better guidelines on whether any marijuana use is appropriate for breastfeeding mothers. But given what we know about the marijuana plant and the naturally high levels of things like lead and cadmium that that plant attracts, well, I think ladies would be wise to just avoid the stuff wholesale. That, by the way, is my opinion, not the science. From my opinion, we go back to the science, ladies and gentlemen, for some far better news, I think, about another product, and that is olive oil. The Harvard Chang School of Public Health added to some previous research that we knew about the benefits of olive oil, with this latest data suggesting that that stuff helps reduce the chances of developing dementia. The study showed that consuming about a teaspoon a day means that you're less likely to develop or die from dementia or a dementia-related disease, about 28% less likely, actually. Researchers are assuming it's because of the oil's anti-inflammatory properties, but also maybe it's related to people substituting olive oil for butter or vegetable oils. But regardless, researchers are suggesting a teaspoon of olive oil a day. It might just keep the doctor and dementia away. Next, we've got a brilliant study about medicine and the AI revolution. And we start with something that I didn't know. The average MRI machine costs about $1 million a piece. They also have to be constructed inside of some special rooms and powered with substantial amounts of electricity. And that's fine if you're a wealthier nation or you have a very robust medical system, but it's a lot more challenging if you are in a poor or an underdeveloped nation. And that's why researchers decided to assemble a less powerful MRI machine that costed far less, about $20,000, with some off-the-shelf components. That allowed them to dramatically then lower the electricity requirements to about that of a hairdryer. They then paired this very rudimentary MRI machine with advanced AI. It was then trained on some data sets that involved images from all parts of the human body, from head to toe. And the incredible news is that this cheaper MRI was just as good and accurate as the fancy MRIs, all because of that AI system. Researchers did say that continued refinements will need to be made. Plus, they say the radiologists involved will need to be retrained to a degree. But still, for poor countries with fewer options or less electricity, it is a notable advancement. And I will be watching for future updates on this because I think this is so cool. And I'll tell you all those updates as I learn them. Finally, here we go. Let's talk about cuddling with cows. Because yes, it is a thing. Reuters News Service reports that bird flu and its spread to cows is threatening the cow cuddling business. As I am pained to tell you about, people pay upwards of $75 an hour to cuddle with a cow. Apparently, this is a thing on TikTok and Instagram with the kids who like to snuggle up to a bovine. Apparently, also some other people like to cuddle with the cows as an alternative form of therapy, because why not? State officials in Michigan, though, are saying don't do it. They are warning folks that because of bird flu, cuddling sessions might not go according to plan and you're going to get pink eye. Quote, "Now is not a good time to cuddle with cows. This is a time to protect the cows and people," end quote. That, by the way, is some great advice coming from Michigan's Department of Agriculture director. His name is Tim Boring, which sounds like a cuddling session with a cow to me. Boring. I mean, come on. What are you going to do together? Chew on your cud and talk about hay prices? Anyway, I don't know. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, get out there and enjoy your weekend, because we just concluded your morning brief. And As always, I will see you on Monday, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.